Okay, well, with that, we'll start this working group meeting. Apologies for being a little bit late, but there was a few challenges because of the schedule change, as well as I think the location. People are still sorting out where in this building they're trying to get to. I want to thank Xavier for being here to start with. I know you've got a bit of a challenging schedule, so although I had put out an agenda, we're going to supersede the agenda as it's written with some words and a brief presentation from Xavier. But before that happens, I just wanted to do a quick summary of where we're at right now. And I'll do that as soon as we just review the agenda and make sure that the agenda is okay. And if there are any other issues that people wanted to add to the agenda, recognizing that the first edit will be a presentation and discussion with Xavier prior to the agenda items that you've already seen. Are we okay with the agenda as it is written? Okay. So I probably didn't state my name right out of the gate, did I? For the record, it's Byron Holland from CIRA, Chair of the Finance Working Group. Just in terms of where we're at today, obviously at the last meeting in Prague, there was a bit of a change in direction, shall we say, in the expense area grouping reporting. Was determined to not be the right tool for the job. Xavier was quite forthright in basically stating that he no longer believed that that was the appropriate way to move forward with the work of this working group, or at least in terms of the data that ICANN is going to be required to supply in order for us to come to conclusion with the work of this group. And I think it's important to note at this meeting that one of the things that came out of Prague and moving forward was perhaps a change in the philosophical direction that we were taking. The dialogue up to Prague had primarily been around a service-oriented model. In other words, ICANN says we provide X services, and therefore the CC operators should provide Y financial contributions. And in a sense, the whole dialogue was in and around, if we get something, then we should pay in due course for those services. Subsequent to Prague, in Prague in particular, I had a number of conversations, and I know there were a number of conversations about, is that even the right or appropriate model, a very service-oriented model? And one of the things that became clear to me, and I think a number of people here, was that perhaps a pure fee-for-service or a fee-for-service-oriented model really didn't capture the nature of the relationship accurately. And what started to take shape organically in conversation was the notion more of a value exchange-oriented model. So it's not just we get IANA service, our share is X, we write a check for that, but more, what is the holistic relationship that the CC community and ICANN have together, and what is the exchange of value that we provide each other? Without a doubt, ICANN provides a number of services and resources that we use, but of course the CCs are an integral part of the community, and we provide a significant amount of value back to ICANN, not the least of which, of course, is just hosting meetings like this. Which is near and dear to my heart right at the moment. But I think that out of Prague, that notion really started to crystallize with myself and with others. And out of Prague, too, there was an idea that maybe we should have that conversation more directly with Xavier, which I did over the course of the summer and reflected that in the last conference call that we had. That is there an opportunity to get to, in a sense, a different approach, a different philosophical approach to the contribution model. And that's one of a more holistic value exchange than just a pure fee for service. And for those of you who weren't on the call, most of you were on the call, during the summer, there was general acceptance that that made sense. So it's with that notion that we've moved forward. I had provided some documents along with the agenda, which captured some of that notion. What does the value exchange look like? And really, those were culled fundamentally from the survey research we did a few meetings back. And trying to map what was in the survey to what could be considered a very, very preliminary version of what the value exchange from ICANN to the CC community and from the CC community to ICANN might look like, both from a quantitative and a qualitative perspective. So we've tested it out. I think this is a first stab at that approach. Certainly Xavier has been pretty open and forthright about what that would look like from ICANN's perspective, and he's going to share a bit of that perspective with the whole group. And the idea here is it really is the beginning of a conversation around value exchange and what would that exactly look like. Now, when I say the beginning, I don't mean another 18 months of dialogue, but just the beginning of taking a look at this model. Much of the work has been done, so I think that there's an opportunity to make a course correction here, but nonetheless keep us moving with an end target to come to resolution on this issue at the next ICANN meeting. So we will, without a doubt, be a meeting late, but I believe there's still a good opportunity to only be delayed by one meeting. So with that preamble, I'm going to turn it over to Xavier to walk through a presentation that he's prepared just to give a sense of, from the ICANN perspective, what might a value exchange methodology look like. Xavier.
Thank you, Byron. Thank you for the invitation and the opportunity to speak in front of you. So right away, I think we'll just get into trying to describe in a parallel and in collaborative approach with what Byron described, the thinking had been in Prague. We have tried to give a view, and Bart has, and I have worked together to try to put on paper a perspective on a value-based model, and this is the next slide. So we don't necessarily have to go in the details of each line item here, but just to speak about the structure of this document, what we've tried to do and when we've discussed with Byron and Leslie and Roloff is let's try to list out what we think ICANN delivers to the CCs and what we think the CCs deliver to ICANN so that we have a full picture of the whole thing and try to draw out of that what we think makes the most sense to try to move forward. So this is really the result of putting thoughts on paper and try to have a reasonably comprehensive view of what the items that make up this value are. And that's what led to what is on the page here. So on the left, it's the value of that ICANN delivers to the CCs. On the right, the value that the CCs deliver to ICANN. I think it's important to note, staying at the overview of this, that it is quite obvious when you read these items, these items, that some are reasonably specific, tangible, I would say, and others are more conceptual and more subjective, And of course, I'm saying that with my finance mindset, probably more difficult to measure as well. Right. But nonetheless, I think the words formulate a notion that corresponds to a value, even if there is a quantification challenge in that value. Nonetheless, the value exists. I don't know if there's any questions at this stage on this. I didn't necessarily expect to just go in the details of each at this stage. Just wanted to present the work that we have done to try to formalize the value approach, or at least the basis of what could be a value approach. Any questions or comments at this stage, or should I just move on? So to try to take the next steps to this value approach, should we determine that it makes sense to move forward with it, we thought that it was helpful to try to see what those next steps could potentially be so that we give shape a little bit and substance to that approach. So we thought that in looking at those value items on the previous page, conceptually, and for the sake of getting to a point where we can evaluate them financially, it was helpful to try to, I'm going to use a word that I'm not sure is a word, to bucketize them, so to define buckets that we can assign qualifications. So we thought in the value that's delivered, there are some items that are, as I said earlier, specific, probably fairly uncontroversial, reasonably easy to measure, and that's the first bucket at the top there. And also in that bucket, we've tried to formulate whether or not it's directly supporting the CCs, as well as suggesting that that bucket would be an exclusive benefit to the CCs. So that's the easiest one to define. Once you've passed that stage of simplicity, I would say, then there are values that are on this slide before, but that are not delivered only to the CCs, but also to others. And that's what is in the shared concept here in the middle of this page. It's still reasonably tangible types of services, reasonably defined and that can be evaluated, but it's not exclusive to the CCs. And then when you look at those values on the previous slide, there are, I would say, notions or more subjective values, more intangible, that pertain to the mission and of ICANN, and that conceptually I think we can agree or at least discuss the existence of a value, but from a purely valuation, the quantification of that value, much more challenging. Though I could imagine, and I don't have a specific example in mind right now, but I could imagine that we can agree on a way to formulate a specific value and try to say, well, we're going to measure it like this. And though it could be a subjective decision, we could try to make our lives easier for more difficult matters to just say, well, we're going to decide abruptly together that it's going to be like that. But we thought it was helpful to try to qualify those because I think the mechanisms of evaluation down the road will be very much driven by this. And going to the next slide, what we wanted to explain with this is that those concentric circles that are on this slide are the three buckets that we just talked about. And when we started thinking through that a little bit, it's obviously clear that
there's not very defined boundaries between everything. There are some items that are very clear. I think travel funding for the CC CLD's representatives that are funded to come to ICANN meeting is a reasonably narrow subject, easily definable, easily measurable. But a lot of those items become, you know, we can start seeing that they're not always clear cut. And sometimes they're in the boundaries of, they're between shared and global. When Bart and I were looking at this, sometimes just he and I were not having the same view at the beginning on certain items. So you take two persons, you have two different perspectives. You take 10, you have potentially 10 different perspectives. But I think that can be resolved by just, you know, trying to justify and document the decisions that we make, which can change as well. Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Lisa. I just want to know, when you're saying we, is it you and Bart, or because you showed three slides, and the first one was a we, including Byron, Leslie, and Roloff, or and then the two next ones, is that also?
No. So the two next ones, the next steps to the laying out the values is something that Bart and I have worked on together to try to formulate those next steps with the intent of it's going to help us understand this notion of value better. And by just walking the path, we learned about it. So we thought it was helpful to share with you as well, Bart.
May I add to this, say, as of from this slide on, we're only talking about ICANN to CCTLD. That's what you will see, because that's what we understand, and it is one of our goals is to make clear why this approach might be helpful and others not, and just we can do it from an ICANN perspective. So this is just part of the equation.
Next slide. Sorry, thank you. This was a same thing, just an attempt to show when you take the IANA function, for example, and that we have for now suggested to put in the shared bucket, so not in the most global, not in the most specific, but in the shared one. Taking that example, in a snapshot of the components that we have under that function today, and with this is not trying to give you the understanding of every single line item. It's just to show you the level of detail that we've been working with to try to formulate a little bit of a measurement of those functions. So this is a draft, and this is in progress. There are, for example, components of this that we have not yet reflected in this slide, and I think that if we would go down the path of assessment, and if we would go down the path of the value model, we would need to formulate. Just a quick example, the INF function in ICANN is carried out by a number of departments, for example. You have an IANA department, but you have the legal department. You have an executive department that also contributes to the INF function to certain making some decisions. There's a policy department that contributes to it as well. So I think that this is, it's not necessarily making easy the measurement exercise, but I think we conceptually need to recognize it. And this is, you will relate, I'm sure, to the budget. When we provide a functional view in the budget presentation, each function that's shown there is the result of several, often, contributing departments to that function. So we'll just have to be mindful of that down the road if we go down that path, to have that comprehensive view of a function from the contributions of several departments. So there's just a snapshot of the level of detail. Just so that you understand, the coding in front of each line is the what we call the budget ID. So it's a little bit of a definition of a purpose for the items that are being budgeted. 120 is the INA department. P means professional services. And then it's a sequential number. When you see a bit down the road, S after the three first digits, it means that it's staff costs. And there are other coding. But this is giving you just a little bit of a snapshot of part of the detail that we have in the budget. Yes, Bart.
Another reason for putting this up and to make very clear this is shared is what you see here. This is, excuse me, the snapshot from IANA staff. What makes it difficult is, and you can see it already, that say what the CCTLD community has been asking for, what are the costs for the CCTLDs for the IANA function, is very difficult to separate out of this. It's because the IANA function has more than one role. It's not just CCTLDs. Even the root zone management, it's about new it's about GTLDs. It's about CCTLDs, and in future, it's currently about IDN CCTLDs, and will be in future about new GTLDs as well. And that's carried out by the same people. In addition, and that's what you see there as well, the IANA function also is the protocol registry, so directly dealing with the ITO. That's the same bunch of people. And also with regard to the numbering and ASN numbers, again, that's the same bunch of people. So it's very difficult, and that's, again, to show why it's in shared and not directly in CCPLDs, is to show you this snapshot.
Next slide. So to give a little bit more views on what we started to do with that evaluation model is, you remember a couple of slides ago we had those three buckets. So right now we're giving you a snapshot of what could be the global bucket, probably the most difficult to capture, to narrow down, to evaluate. And we've listed there just a number of functions that are carried out by the organization and that deliver value to be discussed to the CCs. ID invariant, SSR, DNSSEC local presence. Of course, that concept, for example, of local presence, we need to be defined. We can go into details, but again, this is just showing you the method. DNS ops is also a this is a department of ICANN, so it's a little bit easier to measure for us. But then, what is the part of the DNS ops that benefits the CCs is a more complicated exercise. I'm assuming that if there are questions, people will signal them to me and will interrupt me. Please don't hesitate. Next slide. We're now showing the shared bucket and a few of the items that could find their way in there. I think meetings logistics is a reasonably obvious example of there are costs for meetings, the CCs participate to them, and others participate to them. So it's a really shared cost. The logistics of and the cost of the meeting is a reasonably specific one. Just to comment on there as well, I think we will have to be careful in if we go down the path of this method to have common sense in how we approach this. The meetings logistics, we could go down to the most minute level of detail to try to extract the piece of the cost that corresponds to the CCTLD. I can try to start measuring this room and determine out of the cost of the total bill of the hotel how much has been effectively used by this. So, but I don't see the value in that. But the point is, you see what I'm saying. But so I think there's a way to go about it, and we're not trying to say what method we should retain, and just want to point out to the advantages and difficulties of the model if we go about it. On the specific side, next slide. It's a little bit easier, I think. The policy support was travel. That's the cost of BART. That's Bernie Turco. That's their travel. That's reasonably defined narrow thing. Secretariat support, right in front of you. The work on the IDN, or this CCNSO travel support to the meetings, for example, is also relatively clearly defined, 100%. So just because that was also the easier to measure, we've given an attempt at measuring it, that bucket, the specific one. So that's what we have in the next slide. You want to go over that first? Yeah, okay. Do you mind taking that one out, Bart?
I don't mind. In your, say, Byron sent out a document with what you see there, the comparison of value-benefit categories. Say, the left-hand column is in that document, the left-hand column, so benefit is assessed by the CCNSO survey. The second column is the benefit as identified by ICANN. And what you already see there, there is a bit of a change in concepts. So, and then on the right-hand side, you see the value category review, that what we think in which of these buckets that we've identified it should be. So that's either specific, shared, or global. One of the interesting observations we had during the preparation of our presentation is that, for instance, if you look at what is called root zone management in the benefit assessed by the CCNSO survey, it's called IANA functions and services in ICANN internal jargon. What is also interesting, and this is where some of the miscommunications comes in, root zone management as it is also, say from an ICANN perspective, a specific project on the automation of some of the IANA functions. So that's why I wanted to highlight this. I can go back to the slide of the snapshot and you can see it. On the value category, this is again, say, and I know this is came up in the previous conversations of, say, whether ICANN could provide numbers for these core categories identified by the CC community. And because of the different value categories they're in, for instance, again, IANA function is a shared value. It's very difficult to provide you a number, or you can provide a number, but that's very debatable on what is, on the value itself. And that's just to clarify this, why we don't provide that number at this stage. So now that was the explanation of this slide, going back to, say, one of the documents that Byron has sent around that I could share with Xavier in preparation of the meeting. So I didn't share the other one, so you know. Now we can go to the final slide.
So trying to give a shot at evaluating that specific bucket item.
We've taken just the components that we had listed before and grabbed the budget values associated with those items and put them in front of you here. Again, that's the easiest bucket to evaluate. I mean, you can gather the costs, they exist, they're itemized like that in the budget, and we can, once we've determined those, we can just grab the information. It's readily available. So we thought it was helpful to just provide that and start, showing what the method could look like. I have an itemized next level of detail of that in. For those of you who are interested, not a problem, but just wanted to give those numbers just to show the substance and make it a little bit more tangible for you. This is current fiscal year's budget number, the one that was just approved in June. I don't know, but I can pull them up. Considering what those buckets are, I don't think they would be very different. But any other questions or? So again, that was just trying to give you a little bit of an overview of if we go down this path, what could that look like and how we would start attacking it. Obviously, there would be much more work, notably on those least tangible items. What we haven't done yet, for example, here, even in that number, is take into account an overhead piece, so HR, finance, IT, type of overheads, rent. We haven't formulated that in that number. Those are exclusive of that type of costs. So I think we should layer that out as well when we do that exercise at the more detailed and more completely. Just a comment.
Thanks, Xavier. Byron Holland. So the idea here was just to follow on after Prague and the last conference call, that if we went down this path, what might it look like? And Xavier, I think fortunately went back and did some homework on the suggestion of a value exchange model. And this is what came out of it, what it could look like. You'll see that it certainly bears a resemblance to the documents that I sent. You know, the two don't mesh perfectly by any stretch right now, but you can see how, you know, there is an opportunity that we could start to bring those together. And I think Xavier is just giving us an idea in terms of the art of the possible. That's not meant to be a conclusion per se or a final output, but certainly gives us, I think, a pretty good sense of what ICANN might be able to do. I guess the question I have, Xavier, is in terms of sort of the value exchange model in general, what's your sense of senior management and potentially the board's appetite for something like this?
Before answering directly the question, just quick facts. Bart and I have shared with the management the discussions that we've had with the outcomes of those discussions, so this value model. I also included this item as an update to the Board Finance Committee. That includes, among others, Chris Disdain. I think that the board, one is the BFC and the board, and if there's a distinction between the two, I'll specify it. But for now, the BFC and the board are satisfied with the fact that we're working on it to begin with, that we're working on the process of finding a following to Prague, so they're happy with that. The notion of value expressed in three sentences to them made sense to them. I think they appreciate and value, if I may, the notion that we're looking at a reciprocal set of values, right? There's the value of ICANN to the CCs, and there's the value of the CCs to ICANN, and I think that approach makes sense to them, and that they like that we look at that, and that we have a comprehensive view of it. I think that they believe it is interesting. I think they're expecting us to continue working together on what can we do. I think from the comment of two members that they're expecting it's going to be difficult to implement from the perspective of just calculations, which I can only agree with. But at the same time, it's as complicated as it is when you have not yet entered into it. You know, when you start making the next step, you can see that it's maybe not that complicated, or that there are choices that can be made to make it more simple. But that's the sense of the board so far, and the management so far has, you know, also thought the idea makes sense. I think everybody's kind of expecting to see how it's moving forward before having a more substantial yay or nay type of approach on the subject.
Okay.
Yeah, I just want this is Branislav from the Serbian registry. I just want to understand something about this specific calculation that you made. Yeah, since this is a value exchange proposition, would we now here put against this a very specific value that we bring to the ICANN in this particular area? You say here, you know, meetings and travel, or we spend money on meetings and travel to come here, so we would put these two things against each other, right? You've shown your side, and you're expecting us to put our side on, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's all.
Absolutely, yes. I agree.
Mathieu?
Mathieu from AFNIC France. I apologize since I missed the last conference call, but I'd like just a clarification about what we're calling valuation, value model here. Usually what you call valuation is value for customers, not cost. And here we are both, it seems to me we're more on the cost exchange model than on a value exchange model, which is a marketing term of how much are customers prepared to pay. Am I correct when I'm saying this, or am I missing something?
Mathieu, I think if when we look at the documents that I sent, there's a quantitative and a qualitative piece. So the way that I broke it down in that document was value from ICANN to the CC community, both quantitative, qualitative, and value of the CCs to ICANN, quantitative, qualitative. And to me, it's those four different components that will make up the holistic picture. And that should be able to capture value exchange, where it's not necessarily just hard dollars, which what we have been shown is, as I said, it's just meant to be an example of, if you buy into the notion of a holistic value exchange, here is one piece of how it would look and work. And that was strictly around, here's the easy one to get to, actual direct cash dollars spent by ICANN on behalf of the CCs. And I think
what you're saying, Byron, I just want to make the wording clear for me, because I'm not sure I understand. You're saying quantitative. This is what you call quantitative. Is that right? So quantitative means cost for you. And qualitative would mean something in dollars, but that we would appreciate from our own willingness to pay. Is that what you're saying? I'm feeling a little bit confused.
I think the best answer to this question is yes.
It's always the answer to my question.
That's what my staff often
says. It's a funny answer, but I'm still serious. Because what Joe is asking is, are we talking about the cost of things that we contribute or receive, or the value? And they're not automatically the same. For instance, the cost of an ICANN meeting, we can calculate. The value of an ICANN meeting is very difficult to calculate. So I think we better stick to the cost, and hope that the value is at least as high as the cost.
So that description helps me understand the question better, and I think it's...
Thanks for laughing.
So let me, and that's a fair point. Let me try two different words to try to get to where I was coming at it from, which is the objective elements, which tend to be more hard fact-based, specific dollar-based, and the subjective elements, in the exchange of value, which might be around CC's, our community has 133 members around the world, so we provide, in a sense, true or a substantial amount of the notion of internationalization in the ICANN world is provided by us, because we're the ones who have, and I think in the document that I sent, boots on the ground. We're the ones with real offices in different countries bringing an international perspective. Can you quantify that? No. Is that a subjective value for ICANN to have us be part of this community? Absolutely. So that, to me, when I was talking about that to me is when I speak of subjective and objective, that's trying to get to the same place in terms of the value exchange. Does that make sense?
I understand.
In addition to what you just said, one clarification, what we've shown here is the whole thing, not just the costs part. What I mean by that is, this slide, for example, that we're looking at now, it is the overall model, quantitative and qualitative elements included. The slide where we put numbers is only a very much narrower view of one of the components and assuming value for those items as measured by cost. So I confirm what I think you've understood is, the piece for which we've provided numbers in these slides, those numbers have been determined on the basis of costs, in assuming that the value is the cost, or is as at least as much as the cost.
Yeah, and that, I think that that's a very good point to make. There is a fundamental assumption that the cost associated with it is the value being provided, which I think is where you're going. So that's another layer to it, and what I would suggest there is, that's Roloff's problem over in the SOP. So the actual, you know, are we getting bang for the buck question, I'll punt that over to the SOP. My pleasure. Gift to you. Bart.
Just to be clear, going back to, say, the finance working group call, or the previous finance working group call, when, say, Byron introduced the notion, and it resulted in a document, there was a clear request from the finance working group to provide basic numbers in order to have a sense of what we're really talking about, say, the real basic numbers. And in order to get there, so this is only, as we just said, part of the equation, this is only providing you the basic numbers which make sense, in from ICANN's perspective, because we went through the exercise of going from global to shared to specific in order to drill down to the real concrete number, which makes sense.
But I think if we go down the road of that model, I think it will make sense to be more explicit about the assumption of how we measure things and how we identify value with costs or not. And I think Mathieu's point is very helpful in that model description.
Lise?
Lise4.dk. I just have one question then, because you might have said it. So you're providing us with some numbers, but will you also provide us with the value part, where you think that the CC Nocelle group is valuable to you?
I'm not sure I understood you. Do you mind?
But we were talking about dividing this into cost and into value, and saying value is not the same as the cost. So you might have issues where you find, okay, we might cost you some money, but that gives you an extra value.
Can I just say, just jump in there, not rephrase it, but I think that is where, I mean, if ICANN itself wants to come up with, here we think are a bunch of things that you do that provide us some value, I would encourage Xavier and his team to do that. I think that's probably primarily up to us to say these are the things that we believe we deliver to the community. and make sure that we can sell that notion, but I would also encourage Xavier to populate that list if possible. Please,
Well, in my opinion, I think if we want, we have agreed on changing the model, and you came at the Prague meeting and saying we needed to be more philosophical about the numbers. I think I would like the philosophical part to come from ICANN too, to come from the CTN Reserve Group. Of course, we will provide you with some of our views, but I would also like to know the ICANN part.
So I think that not speaking about a validation process or approval process within ICANN of this type, but unless I misunderstand your question, there's certainly a beginning of an answer on this slide. Because, you know, if I take this slide across ICANN's management, for example, if we want to try to look at just that, I think that everything in there will be recognized, probably most likely completely accepted by the staff of ICANN, just to try to use that word. So I think that, so the way I'm looking at it, Liz, is more that in whatever model we come up with, we're in it together, right? I mean, I can't start formulating a value. If you don't see it, there's no value, right? So, and vice versa, I think. So I think we've tried to capture through this, in this document, values that we thought we shared. And I think that's a premise to trying to define a model is, I can't define my own model, but I mean, what's the point if you guys don't agree? And so I view this exercise as collaborative, right? And at the end of the day, we need to work together to define what it is and put in it what we think makes sense collectively, because the only things that make sense are the ones that make sense for both of us. In my view. So at the end of the day, there's not you and me anymore in this exercise, in my view.
Just a quick one. Well, yeah, but then I think, as you say, we should, to me it's very important that this is going to show that we have trust and transparency and we believe in each other. And if we should do that, we should, you know, go both ways saying you're valuable for us in these senses, not only tough senses, but you give us value. And we tell you, well, I can give this value here, and we spent money on this part. Like, we made the survey, we said, oh, we use a lot of money on travel and hosting arrangements. But we also need to tell you the value we find from ICANN, but I can also get value from us. That's just both sides.
Sorry to be thick, but I think, for example, here, when I see what we've tried to formulate here on the second line, the clear one that says meeting hosts, sponsorship of meetings and events, to me that's, there's a tangible cost value to that, but it's the recognition of the value of the CCs organizing, hosting meetings just like Sierra is doing this year now. And maybe we need to formulate it also a little bit differently in the sense of whatever amount of money Byron's organization has paid to host the meeting is an element of that value, but it's also bringing the quality of the knowledge of a CC in a meeting, in dealing with local partners. I mean, I think I understand your question, but I'm not sure because I think that the answer to your question are largely, maybe not completely or necessarily well formulated, but are largely on this slide.
I have Peter and then Branislav, and I'm just going to ask, since we do have a considerable amount more of our agenda to go, those will be the last two questions, and then we'll move on.
This is Peter von Rossel from Center. Thanks, Heavy, for your presentation.
I see why people are struggling with the idea or the difference between value and costs. I do too. I think we will make our lives difficult if we keep on calling it the value exchange model. And we already in this brief discussion, I think it becomes clear that only the costs are what is tangible, what we can put on slides and what is measurable. And just not, I'm not picking on the example that you gave as a way of thinking about this whole thing, but if you look at the last slide, there is IBM plus travel equals €300,000, dollars approximately, on the cost side. Whereas I think quite a lot of people would see that the efforts that the CCs have put into the IBM fast track will be actually of incredible benefit to the whole IT society, while it still ends up as a cost factor on our final bill here in the draft. So I think we should be very careful with using the terminology value and cost. So for the sake of clarity, I think we better stick to cost.
Yeah, I feel similarly to what just Peter said, and I'm sorry I didn't think about this before, but Matthew has kind of thrown a grenade into the conversation. Yeah, if we take a simple thing like the cost of our travel to ICANN meetings, which is $6 million plus, okay. The question is, what is the value, not the cost, the value of us coming to the ICANN meetings for us, and what is the value to ICANN of us coming to the meetings? What would ICANN lose if we didn't come? And that's the value, basically, that opportunity cost, basically, is the value to ICANN of us coming to these meetings, and it's certainly not the entire $6 million. On the other hand, for us, it's not entire $6 million pure cost, because we also draw some benefit from coming here. So it's very difficult, taking that one example, it's very difficult to say out of the cost of $6 million, what is the value to us, what is the value to ICANN, and how we calculate this into the value exchange model. So while I like, on a philosophical level, this value exchange, it's nice, and it's, I think, as Javier said, it's us. It makes us us. It's not them and us, but it's all of us are us if we talk about value exchange. I also think that we should concentrate as much as we can on those items that we can on the cost, basically. Try to assign the cost. And then where we cannot, then we can discuss how to value that. Thank you.
Thank you. Javier, thanks for joining us. Thanks for providing that. Obviously, has stimulated some thought and dialogue, and we'll continue on within our working group. But thanks for joining us again.
Thank you for the invitation.
So while we transition to the part of our schedule that does not include Xavier, but before you go, since you're in my backyard now, I figured I better give everybody a little taste of Canada here. So this is also I have a side benefit. There's lots of sugar, so we'll give it a quick rush. There's a very famous company in Canada called Tim Hortons, which is our coffee company in Canada. You'll see them everywhere. There's literally hundreds, thousands just in Toronto. And this is a little delicacy, I assure you, they're good for you. They help you lose weight, and they're good for your teeth. But so just pass these around. Feel free to grab a couple, and you can go on your way out. Yeah. Are you talking dollars or fat content?
Right?
Have another, yeah. And nobody leaves till both boxes are done, so. Okay, so we'll carry on with the agenda that was actually sent to the group. And there were three components on it. But really, the key overlay to them all is, at the end of the day, how are we going to come up with a number? What's the number? And how are we going to equitably distribute it? And we're only scratching the surface of the left half of that equation. We haven't really even started to discuss in a meaningful way the right side of that equation. But anyway, with that in mind, we've taken a stab here at some principles, some general principles. That should hopefully govern us as we go through the process. And one of the reasons that I wanted to do the general principles up front is easier to do them up front when we're talking about just the principles before we really get into the details. Because we can have agreement on principles, I think that'll be very helpful in guiding us forward when we try to actually unpack how are we going to distribute the number, whatever it may be. So with that, I had put forward some principles as one of the documents, and I was hoping to have some discussion on the principles, I think in first part, is there anything here that is not true, that there is disagreement with, don't believe it, think it's crap? Leslie, on that note, something came to mind?
I can't think why. Apologies for being late earlier as well. I was delayed by somebody from somewhere in the remote country. I'd just like to query Sarah in 2A. So I know what I think would be fair, and I suspect colleagues at VeriSign would say, no, that's not fair. So I wonder if the use of fair will work going forward. So in my mind, I think justifiable or defendable or something along that may be better in the longer run, because I suspect if when we eventually come up with numbers, on whatever basis we come up with numbers, there will be a number of people who will say that's not a fair proportion.
Well, that's probably a fair point. I know, sorry, I couldn't resist. That's not an unreasonable point. I think one of the reasons it's in there twofold is that it is trying to convey something, but also, as you just pointed out, it's what we would call a weasel word in that there's lots of room within it. So it has a downside, that it's not specific. The upside being it provides a fair scope of maneuverability within it. Now, I guess the question that you rightly point out is, does that get us into more trouble at the end, and as a result, it's not worth it? Or does that amount of maneuverability provide an advantage as we go through the process? Mathieu?
Adding on to this, I would question whether it's a principle that the contribution of CCTLDs should represent whatever proportion of ICANN costs. If ICANN gets into GTLDs, thousands and thousands and maybe
hundreds of thousands in the future, why would that proportion remain an issue? I'm not at all convinced that this is something that should be even monitored. What is the share of CCTLDs in ICANN? What needs to be monitored? I'm more convinced that it reflects the benefits of the CCTLDs received and so on. That is valuable principle. But I don't think we should focus on the proportion of CCTLD contributions.
Any other thoughts on that?
I will be sending donuts before the end of the meeting.
You're not allowed to throw the donuts. Okay. Bella?
I don't know if I understand Mathieu correctly. Because normally I do, by the way. But if we get a lot of new GTLDs, then the proportion of cost that the CC should contribute to will be smaller.
Yes, but that means this is not a significant metric, because it depends on whatever ICANN does elsewhere. So it's not a key principle that at the same level of the cost or contribution that is related to the benefit. There will always be a proportion, whatever it is, but it's not at principle level in my own opinion.
Peter?
Would it help if we somehow get into, Peter van Rossum from Center, would it help if we somehow get into the set of principles, the notion that the contributions should be calculated on services that CCEs have actually requested from ICANN? Would that help, Mathieu? Because then you miss out on the GTLD part, for instance. Or you miss out on services that ICANN provides that most CCs would maybe not agree on, that they are valuable to them.
Maybe if I can just add, Mathieu, I think that it comes down to taking two different paths. One is saying, which is what I hear you saying, that we should pay a fair, justifiable amount of dollars to ICANN strictly for the benefits that we receive, if I could make it a little clearer, versus what's here, which includes more of the ecosystem. I guess one of the questions I would have is, do we only want to pay for what we receive, or something close to that? Or do we believe there's a broader ecosystem within the ICANN fold that we should be contributing to as well? And that's, to me, where the proportion relative to the whole ecosystem or other stakeholders comes into play. And I think you rightly point out that is a key principle. Are we going to pay, you know, we get X, and generally speaking, whether it's qualitative or quantitative, we're going to pay. Or do we say there's a bigger picture here and we're going to pay some piece of it in conjunction with other stakeholders? Lise
Fort.dk. Well, in principle, I think we should pay our part of the ecosystem, but I find it difficult to go all in this model, because what I've seen is that ICANN does a lot of things that is really not transparent, not accountable, and I think the whole CC, the whole GTLD, new GTLD process really makes me worried. So having that in mind, I'm a bit biased about this, because I think I would like them to show me a path that I can say, oh, I'm a part of this ecosystem and I want to contribute. But they need to show me. I know we have a new CEO that might help that part, but I don't know. It's when we go into this value model, you get a lot of the feelings too. So if you only had the cost, you could keep out the feelings. So now I put in the... You say no? Yes, you said no. But to me it's easier. Okay, I can go home and I can argue for the cost, but it's difficult to argue for being a part of the ecosystem that we don't find is doing what's best for the internet community in general, if that's what happens.
Matthew?
Yeah. I really think the ecosystem also is part of the benefits. The way it's worded right now is benefits, not covers the cost. And so it includes this. And I think in setting the principle, we should aim at having as few principles as possible. Obviously, as few principles as possible.
Should we make that a principle?
I think we should make that a principle.
Because I make light of it, but
it's
I agree.
And I share it.
So, Mathieu, you're saying that your main principle is to be as unprincipled as you can be?
No, as single principled as possible. Not unprincipled.
So, in terms of having principles that give you enough room to maneuver, but are give you also fairly clear direction. If we consider what you just said, that the ecosystem, because principle number one is it's voluntary, and therefore people will have their own flexibility in making up their minds while we try to provide guidelines. Right. That benefits accrued will be different in different people's minds, and some people will see the benefit of contributing to a broader ecosystem and some people will not. And that can be captured in 2B if we did something as basic as just simply changing the word fair to, I think the suggestion was justifiable or appropriate. Does the rest of it then flow to at least capture the notion of the ecosystem or not? I roll up and then Branislav.
Yeah, sorry to take you back one step. Because it's the first principle that I have a bit of a problem with, and I think quite a few of you know. If we can come up with a good model, then I really doubt if having the principle this contribution should be voluntarily, should still be joined in. The principle should still be valid. Because you will have three communities, two in fact, but there's one community that are split in two. The existing utilities, there's no such thing for them as voluntary contributions. There are the new utilities, there's no such thing for them as voluntary contributions. And then there's the CCs. They have come up with a model in which they can finally calculate if they have to financially contribute to ICANN, and if they have to, how much. And then they still maintain a voluntary, that they still maintain that should be a voluntary contribution. I think that's not a very good principle, on the condition that we can come up with a good system.
But the challenge is the CCNSO has no enforcement power to make anybody pay anything. We can strongly encourage, we can highlight, name and shame.
Yeah,
I mean, there's
okay.
A range of tools.
No, Brian, but that's true. But if you state in your first, in your lines of principle, in your row of principles, the first one is that it's voluntary, that is a clear message to the community. If you say it should not be voluntary, you can still not enforce it, which is a completely different message.
Matthew, and then leave.
Just supporting the first principle, as it is, because this is how it works in real life. You don't get to pay a service if you don't want a service, unless you're absolutely obliged to by law or regulation, which is not going to be the case. So I think it is key to the outcome of these groups. Sustainability, or I'm grasping for a better word, but if we want the result of the work
to be considered credible. And this work needs to translate into reality afterwards. And the reality is CCTLVs are only willing to pay if it's voluntary. And I think it's fair. That is a good measure of whether ICANN is succeeding or not. And it's a good measure as long as it's voluntary. And so I think this is one of... I like the fact that it's the first principle.
That's a follow-up? Okay, follow-up and then leave. Sorry, Branislav. Yeah.
It's because, Mathieu, you say it's a fact of life that if you take a service that you pay for it. And that if you don't take the service, you don't pay for it, right? But it's not a fact of life that you take a service and then you decide voluntarily if you will pay or not. I never come across that kind of a service that I take and I can still not pay and have somebody else pay for the service that is provided to me. That's a very strange approach. So that's exactly the reasoning which is behind it should not be voluntary. If you take a service and that service costs money, you should pay for it. Or
but
there should be a special
service
arrangement that some other groups have agreed to pay for you.
It is public interest service, which is very different.
I agree. And it's the same with resolving .NL domains, and still registrants and registrars pay us. And also on the
.com. Let's get some other voices in here right now. So I have Lise, then Branislav, Eduardo, Leslie, and Peter.
Lisa.dk. Well, I do strongly support the first principle of Nature, and I find it fundamental to the multi-stakeholder model. And in my opinion, it's a premise, do you call that, for the multi-stakeholder model for the CTLD. So,
thanks. Branislav?
Sorry. If I may go to the item two, I have a problem with item two because this is supposed to be an exchange of values, and here we're talking only about the values that we're receiving from ICANN and the basis of payment based on those. You're not talking about the values that ICANN receives from us. So all these A through D are things that ICANN gives us, and we pay them in exchange for that. It doesn't mention anything about the other way around. So I think you need to build into these principles also the other side, because this way it's only one-sided, basically. There is no value in what we do. So I don't have a concrete suggestion, but I just think when you work on these principles, somehow we need to work out that other direction as well.
Okay, so actually that's a good point. So there were two things that I wanted to look at when we did the when we reviewed these guidelines. One is anything that's not there, and one anything that is simply not true or we can't agree on. So I think that's a good potential add of, is there something missing? And that certainly may be one. Eduardo?
Hi, this is Eduardo from .co. Yes, I support also the first principle as it is, but I guess we need to complement it. And I'm going to take the words of Radislav, because I agree with him that probably in the second point, we are not expressing what are we giving, what are we putting on the table. What are we proposing to contribute? And probably... we can say there we are not receiving from ICANN and the multi-stakeholder model in general. We are willing to support, we are willing to pay for in order to maintain this multi-stakeholder model. We are willing to work with the rest of the community in order to build and to maintain this multi-stakeholder model. Then probably we can reinforce that voluntary basis and model of contributions, making more clarity that our responsibilities our commitment in order to build this community as a whole. And probably that is the modification that we can introduce in this second point. It's not paying for services. We are making the full gain that express as we are paying for services. We are committed in order to build together with the rest of the community this thing that we call ICANN.
Thanks, Eduardo. Leslie?
Thank you. So the wording is should be voluntary, yeah? And should doesn't mean must be voluntary. So if you wanted to enter into a contract with ICANN, you're perfectly able to. It doesn't say will be voluntary, so we're all agreeing it will be voluntary or it will be contractual. I think should gives enough wriggle room that if people do want to enter into a contract, then they are perfectly able to do so, and there are some CCs that have done that. There are CCs who probably don't want to remain in contract with ICANN, and should be voluntary also gives them the room for maneuver to do that. But I think a large number of CCs would be really concerned if from this discussion we came out with will be contractual or will be voluntary. Should gives room either way.
Thanks, Leslie. Peter? Roll up, did you have a comment after? Okay.
Peter van Rossum from Center. I think most of it has already been said by the speakers since I raised my hand, but adding from a model that I'm quite familiar with, the voluntary model for RO contributions, that does work. And this, especially in some regions, that is a service where you receive a service and...
Sir, can I just a clarification when you say that does work? Maybe I just missed something.
The voluntary contribution model.
Strictly voluntary.
Yes.
Okay.
In some regions, that means that quite a few of the members are not expected to pay for a service that they will be receiving. And this is not based on a contractual agreement where somebody else takes over the fees or somebody else is obliged to pay for them. And then just on making sure that we realize that anything that would not be voluntary would probably not be realistic. Some regions ask $150 for their membership, and some CCTLDs are struggling to even pay that, and that is a real figure that they cannot afford to pay that. So anything that would be diverging from should be voluntary in the set of principles I think should be avoided.
Thanks, Peter. Rola?
Maybe first a reaction to Leslie. I agree that should gives the possibility to parties to go into a contract and make it a contractual contribution, and for other parties not to do that and not pay at all or pay voluntarily. And as a principle, that's exactly my problem, because it's not so much the amount. I agree that there are parties that have more funds and can pay more easily than others. And if it's involuntary, that doesn't mean that suddenly that whole system disappears as well. Yeah, so you can still maintain a system where you look at the capacity to pay instead of only the cost of the services provided or the added value delivered. But the principle is that it's not your choice completely to either pay or not to. And Peter says that it works well in Center. I think in general it works well, but I think also it's probably a bit short to say that all members pay to the maximum of their capacity. There are members that pay far more than others, while some of those others could actually pay significantly more, and so that the others could reduce their contribution a bit. So a voluntary fee band model, I think, normally will always have this kind of a good side, where parties that have a very low capacity to pay contribute very little and still receive services, and that's a good thing, and others for that reason are paying for them, and there's no problem in that. But the downside of it is that there will also always be parties that could contribute more than those. And I'm trying to avoid the term free rider here, but we all know it, and they are there.
Thanks, Roland. I do want to be conscious of time, and clearly we could spend a while on this, but I think we have a reasonable sense of the room right now, or I do at least. I'd like to get off 1 and 2A, if we can, and just keep moving on a couple of the, just to get feedback. I'm not saying we are concluding, just to be clear, not concluding this discussion right now, but I want to keep moving to get a sense of or feedback on some of the other principles, as well as there are other items on the agenda. But I think what this conversation has served to highlight is how important it is to at least have consensus. It doesn't mean unanimity. Consensus on principles, is we can't even have general consensus on a fairly generic principle, we will be in tough shape when it comes to actually coming up with the method. Okay, 10 seconds this time.
I agree, and I can live with that consensus because I realize that the majority of the community is not yet up to accepting an involuntary contribution system. But I think it will come eventually because it has to do something with emotions, things that happened in the past, and all those kinds of things. So I think one day,
all right,
this might change.
We'll leave it to you to be the advocate for progress in that area. In number two, beyond A and B, just looking at 2C and 2D, is there anything there that is either missing or should be added? Or extraneous, because I do take Matthew's point, and I think it's a good one, that principles should be few in number. Bart?
Do you really need principle C if you maintain the CCTLD's contributions, I think should be voluntary?
Which in rereading C again was one of the reasons I made the comment, is it one of those potential principles we could do away with here?
Maybe redundant with three as well.
Okay.
Because there's their ability to pay.
And I think D we would all probably assume to be true without having to state it. Or maybe we do want to make that very clear. I mean, you could go either way.
I'd like to second Rulof for one.
Okay. Bart?
Again, and maybe this goes back to the discussion early on. I think this one is very valuable if you go into the values exchange model, because it seals off the value exchange from the budget. There is no direct relation anymore.
Yeah, that's a good point. Number three. Do we need to state that?
We need a statement about how different CCTLDs will have a different voluntary contribution.
Something to the effect of reflective of their national something or other. Okay.
There's room for maneuver about what you mean by size, and that's fine.
Sensitive to national requirements, issues.
There is another part to this one. The actual fee model should be reflective of the overall size. It's this is more looking into the distribution than the total amount. So it's a bit strange in this set of principles. Is if you're talking about the overall amount from the CCs that the CCs will contribute, how that is divvied up is something else. And this is more looking into... Right?
Isn't this also in our scope as finance work?
Yes, but that's another discussion. There are two discussions. One is, what should the CCTLDs voluntarily contribute to ICANN as a whole? Then the second step is, how do you want to distribute it among each other? And this is looking into the distribution.
So I agree there's the two conversations. We talked about what's the number and how do we divvy it up. What I was trying to get to on this particular one is just a recognition, not so much, and maybe that's why it's phrased wrong, though the point I think is still relevant. It's that however this happens, it needs to be sensitive to the local CC. And I don't have the word, I'm grasping for what the right words are right now, but it's the notion that each of us are different, or many of us are different in many different ways, and that the arrangement has to reflect that. And the proxy in this sentence became size, but it's not just size. It's funding model, price, a whole bunch of different issues. Eduardo?
Thank you, Aaron. Yes, we can maintain this, but I think we need to separate it because we are having here two different points. One is the size of the individual registries, and the other one is the ability to pay, because it's not exactly the same. Then probably we can have one trying to express that the contribution model should be in proportion of the size of the registry. But we need to discuss, because we also are going to have another one, that the contribution will depend on the ability of the registry to pay, that we can have this together. So.
Leslie, then Vika.
Thanks, Warren. Maybe there's something there around diversity of registries and also diversity of business models. Because you may have a business model that doesn't give you any money to pay, or you may have a business model that makes you very profitable and therefore able to pay.
Good point. Vika?
Thanks. My name is Vika. I think following up on what Leslie says, Byron, probably even before moving forward, I would have stated that sentence in a more of a relaxed manner, where I would say the actual fee models chosen should take into consideration the size, not that it be reflective of the size. Because if you say reflective, it tends to give an impression that you're talking about a certain independent model already, where you say if you have an X amount of domain names, then you fall within this category. You know, so I would make it a bit more relaxed. But also, it reminds me of the initial debate we had when we started, and we spoke about CCTLD contributions, financial and non-financial, to ICANN, and also to regional organizations, for example. So it would be one thing to have an X amount of domain names and be expected to pay within a certain category. But if that does not take into consideration as well the fact that there are other financial commitments that, say, Keith NZ would have to APTLD, or Chris would have to APTLD, then that principle itself is incomplete. So I will just point out to that one. And also echo what Leslie said, that some of the models can be very misleading, you know. I may have a million names, only to find that out of this million, only 600,000 is paid for names. The other 400,000, I'm giving them away. Yeah.
And I actually think that's a good point and speaks to the notion of maybe having diversity as the word there. Because I know I charge for every single one. I don't give anything away, so maybe I should have to pay a little more for that. Okay, number four, fee models which would undermine the existing funding arrangements from other stakeholders.
I'm not sure.
Or do we care?
I'm not sure I understand this one.
As a general principle, would we want to do anything that upsets the apple cart? Or that's a expression. Obviously not a helpful one.
No.
Okay.
You read my text quick, bro.
Sorry, it's Alan Goldrinks here. I think the point is to have a discussion about looking at the fee model from the perspective of ICANN itself. And I think at a certain point, we're going to have to start to limit the types of fee models we'll look at. An important way to look at that is if we favor a fee model that suits our needs, but we know is going to upset the fee model for GTLDs, then ICANN is unlikely to look favorably on that. So I think it's important to have this discussion up front about to understand at least that point, even if it's principle.
So I think that is part of the discussion, but maybe not a principle. For those of you who don't know Alan, Alan is a recent addition to the CIRA team, and he is leading our policy group. He comes from a long and distinguished career at Industry Canada, which is our government department that is tasked with all things internet and telco and ITU and that space, privacy, e-commerce, etc. So he brings to CIRA quite a wealth of experience and background. So I think the point is relevant. As I read it again here, I'm not sure that it is a principle, though, but I solicit feedback. Oh, you can't get away with not having any, Sabina. Yeah. Big Canadian delicacy. Okay, can we move on to number 5? The goal should be a multi-year arrangement. And again, I think certainly a laudable goal. Important, is it a principle?
I agree with you here that we should avoid the need for continual discussions on the issue. I do support this very strongly. Maybe just would be another way to phrase it rather than multi-year arrangements, which may lead to understandings that there are contracts or other agreements, that we just focus on the fact that these principles should be reexamined, but only after 3 to 5 years, not every year, something like this. We give these principles and the outcome of the work a certain validity, a delay of validity that is significantly more than the time that we've spent on the working group.
I definitely agree with that last point. Okay. Branislav?
Yeah, I actually like how you formulated your comparison of CCTLD funding models paper, which in the beginning has like 4 principles. And they're very short. They're not the same as these principles. But I think that it's a good model how we should formulate our principles, basically. I say here it should be predictable, sustainable, consistent, and committed. Perhaps we can rework the principles paper to be short like that and very up to the point. And I think that would satisfy Matthew in the brevity of the things and the number of things, but it will also give us some explanation of what it is. The way that the paper is now written, it's just too big to be the principle paper. And I agree that all these things are important, but we somehow have to compress them into something more like 1, 2, 3, 4 bullets or something like that.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to wrap up this section because we're clearly behind schedule. I'm also going to suggest that number three, the model review, was meant to be more of a thought exercise to walk through, and I'm going to suggest that we take that online and that you'll have an opportunity to put your thoughts to it. I'll explain it just before we go, and as a go-forward action item, I ask that you just do the exercise and then provide it back to us. We'll just give it a minute. I'd like to go to number two. We've certainly limited the time we can spend on number two, but I think this, again, was to be more meant to be more descriptive as opposed to a full-blown discussion right now. And number two is with respect to the document that has the title Assessment of Relative Benefits of CCTLD-ICANN Relationships. If you printed it out, that's what's on top. It shows a matrix or a table on the first page. And really the goal here, and we spoke to it a bit while Xavier was in the room, was to look at what were the benefits to the CC community, from ICANN to the CC community and from CCs to ICANN. And what did we see from the survey material? Benefits as assessed in the CCNSO survey and versus benefits as identified by ICANN, i.e. taking out from the EAG or really the budget that they've proposed, and trying to marry the two so that we could see how they work together and can we find commonality from which we can then have a discussion on the relative value. And that first table was just to take a look at where in the survey we had indicated received value or perceived value received versus provided, and also just to look at it through the context roughly of size of registry. That's what you see in the table, and you can see that the numbers, as we talked about previously when we looked at the survey, drop off pretty fast. Once you get out of the IANA, or Wood Zone Management space, and the policy space, the perceived value of CC members of what ICANN is providing drops quite quickly. The other four tables, and I think this is probably where it's worthwhile coming up with what the wording is that we want to continue to use going forward, because the other four table or the four tables here really represent the quantifiable and versus the qualified benefits from ICANN to CCs and from CCs to ICANN. So if you think there's four sets of information or data, half of which we can relatively easily put a number to, and half of which become much more difficult. So if you look at B, non-quantifiable benefits, otherwise known as qualitative or subjective benefits, and that's the problem here. We've got three words trying to get to the same meaning. But the subjective benefits CCs received from ICANN. One would be the perceived influence over ICANN governance. And that's important to us because we're part of this ecosystem. Can you put a number to that? How do you monetize the value of influence over a governance system? Very, very difficult to monetize it. Therefore, almost impossible to put a specific number to it, but I'm sure as leaders in organizations we can all appreciate that having influence over the governance of an organization has significant value. And that's going to be this is the fundamental challenge with this exercise. How do you value subjective, non-quantifiable elements? So this was an attempt to cull the information from the survey, marry it with a little bit of common sense and the data as provided by ICANN thus far through their forecasts and budgets, not their financial statements, but through their forecasts that we've seen in their operating plan and strategic plan, and put them in four separate tables that could hopefully provide some guidance and value and allow us to start to have a conversation around, are these the right things? And I'd say on the quantifiable or objective ones, can we start to get to a number to build that baseline foundation? And if you just look at the model that Xavier presented, particularly around the specific or shared things which are going to be the most straightforward to quantify. So recognizing that, to be honest, I've blown the timing of this meeting, or at least we've had a much richer discussion than I anticipated, but I think it was very much worth it, and I'm, you know, it's unfortunate we're not going to get to all of these items. I think the conversation was definitely worthwhile letting run free for a bit. What I would like to suggest is that please take this document away and look at the tables and see if you have anything to add or subtract. What am I missing? Is there anything that you disagree with shouldn't be there or that has clearly been missed and should be there? So going forward, this is very important to us to be able to start to bring this into focus, this piece of it into focus. So I would really strongly encourage all of you to take a good look and provide all the feedback that you can. I know we all have busy schedules and organizations to run, and once we leave these four walls, it can slip away, but I'd strongly encourage you to provide all the feedback that you can. And then we can turn it around and reincorporate it into a next version. Yeah. Agreed. Are there any questions on that? Pretty straightforward. So the other piece that I'm going to assign as homework is number three on the agenda. And maybe I'll just skip Bart to bring that up. And really that was meant to be a thought exercise to help us get to the discussion around most appropriate models. And again, it was really just to start to get to the point of all of the models that we looked at a year ago now, are there ones that are obviously not going to work for us? So really what I'd been hoping to get to is, can we winnow it down to maybe two or three that we can then start to really examine in some detail and start to throw some numbers against to see how they would look, what would fall out of the bottom of them once you start to put numbers in them. And the proposed criteria through which to view any of these models, without looking at the numbers per se, but the assessment criteria of, is the model a worthy one for further investigation, were around predictability. Well, you can see the list here. Predictability, consistency, does it achieve commitment? Is it sustainable? Is it fair? Is it justifiable? Yeah. And then one that is going to be equally important, will it fly? Is it going to be acceptable? It may be an elegant model, but maybe it has no chance of passing scrutiny in our community or the broader community. So this was just a basic table. You have it. It's been sent to you as a Word document. You can look at it yourself. I would ask that you just go through the thought experiment of walking through it. And I think, you know, for most of us who've been around the space a little bit, you don't need to do a deep analysis per se. It's something that you should be able to just go through and have a intuitive response to it. And an easy way to do it is just use a +3, -3 model. Is it, you know, really good, good, satisfactory, or the reverse, you know, negative, completely unacceptable, et cetera. And I just use a +3, -3 scale to give it a sense of where they stood relative to each other. please.
I just wanted to add another word, that was transparent, because is it, or understandable, is it in a model that's transparent to our, to the members?
Okay. Okay, so we'll resend it out, and all you have to do is plug and play with the numbers. And it's really just to give you a sense of, are these, you know, which ones are clearly not going to cut it. And if we can come to conclusion there, then we can spend more effort delving into the two, or hopefully only two, maybe three, that make the most sense. The next meeting is Beijing. It's quite a ways from here, well, literally and figuratively. But certainly in terms of time, it's a long stretch between ICANN meetings. I would very much like to get through these two pieces and have this done and completed before we get to Beijing. So we are going to have a two or three conference calls along the way between here and Beijing to work through some of these issues. Okay. Being sensitive to time, it is 3 o'clock. Are there any final, very, very brief comments? And Bart and I will follow up with documents and a how-to guide and slightly revised versions of it and a revised version of the principles for further discussion. Peter?
Just for our homework, I'm missing something. If you mentioned that we should evaluate the allocation models. Well, there are still someone there that have compulsory nexus. If we use our first principle, we can already remove these. Or am I missing something?
No, that's a fair comment. I didn't edit the list at all yet. This is the first cut, and some of it may just be pure form that we're going through the exercise, but part of it is, okay, we'll go through the full exercise and then let's dismiss them, clearly dismiss them.
That's why the criteria of acceptability is there.
Right. Roloff, did you have a final point?
Since we kind of have to start all over again, I don't know how much progress we're going to make between now and Beijing, but maybe my suggestion would be to see if we can have either a longer working session in Beijing than this one, or have a Sunday session and have another working session somewhere in the week. And maybe we can even look at the possibility to still have a working session within this week, within the coming week. Because I think we, you know, although it's not our fault that we have been set back a long way, I think it's in all our benefit if we come up with something useful now as quickly as possible. No, not as quickly as possible. The most important thing is it's a good thing, but we can't afford to have it dragging on another 2 years.
Keep up the momentum.
Yeah.
So I think that's I think it's an excellent point. And I'll work with Bart and Gabby in our abbreviated ICANN meeting schedule now to see if we can do that. Thursday is really the only day that can happen here. And quite frankly, even in Beijing, that's probably the truth, unless we can organize a longer session on the Sunday. But I'll take that away. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. And with that, I'll close this meeting.